Greetings in the precious name of Christ. Needless to say, my heart has been touched and overflowing already just as we fix our eyes on Jesus. And we press towards that unclouded day, place where there will never be bad news. There will be a smile on Jesus' face. And when we're there, we'll realize it's all by grace. I really enjoyed the Sunday school lesson as well. I kind of like where we're in a situation, just words can't express these concepts that God is, and we're talking about grace. Words truly can't express the depths of it. So for a message this morning, I'm going to start with a story that happened when I was about 6 months old. And I wish I could say I remember it. No, I read about it. So I have no connections to it, other than one person that is kind of involved in the story. I heard of him. So the year was 1970, and Ron and Darlene Garner had three children. They lived in the state of Indiana. It was Easter weekend. He was working on Saturday because he had taken some time off for his daughter was doing some tests prior to a heart surgery. So he was working on Saturday for some extra time, and he was working with some combustible material, and there was an incredible explosion, and he barely escaped. I think they had to pull his body from the wreckage or the embers or whatever. He was part of a caring church in Alexandria, Indiana. So immediately they did what churches do, and they put it on the prayer hotline. And there was a lot of people praying. And if I remember the story right, some of them even got together and just were praying. The doctors gave little hope. And at evening, Ron Garner was still alive, but little hope. So prayer continued. So remember what weekend it is? It's Easter. And the next morning, the church got together, and it's not quite the Easter vibe. You know the Easter vibe? Just like new dress, nice, new. Singing is usually maybe a more emphatic. They were actually very tired because a lot of them had prayed a lot through the night. So it wasn't a typical Easter service at all. And the pastor reminded them that we're a body. We're in this together. We will rally around the Garner family. And about that time, they got a fresh report from the family that Ron has outlived the deadline, and the doctors now have a ray of hope. And wow, for the body of Christ, that was that gave a vibe in the church that you really can't put into words. They sang as a congregation, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And they were, of course, rejoicing that Jesus is alive and very present and so on. But they knew that if this ray of hope was really a ray of hope, there was going to be reality, which was many trips to the hospital, caring for the Garner family, transfusions, medical expenses, meals, and so on. The story is actually amazing. He had a full recovery, ended up being a tremendous asset in his community. I think he went on to coach a basketball team, and just a very robust, energetic family man. Now let's go back to the Easter service. There was a well-known couple in the church, and their names were Bill and Gloria Gaither. That's the only connection that I have. I heard of them. I listened to some of their songs. And on the way home from that Easter service, they were so full of the beauty of the body of Christ that they could hardly speak. They got home, Gloria started making a meal, and Bill goes to the piano, and he starts playing. And their children were quiet. It seemed like everybody knew that there was a song being born. Finally, a melody drifted from the piano into the kitchen and drew the cook from meal preparation, and Gloria started putting some words to the music, and they came up with the song in that setting. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. I'm joined heirs with Jesus as I travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in his victory in the family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, say it with me, but praise God, I belong. Sometimes the stories behind the song are as powerful as the song. I'm here to say that I am very thankful to be part of the family of God. And the longer I walk with God, the more I appreciate being part of his family, part of his church, the visible church, the bride of Christ, the glorious bride of Christ, the apple of Jesus' eye. And I want you to hold me accountable to this statement right here. My commitment to the body of Jesus Christ, to the local church, I want my commitment to match anything I ever say about my relationship or my love for Jesus, because I don't think you'll ever separate the two. I am committed to the body of Christ. And I guess if you want a title, it's I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And what I want us to do, I want us to appreciate the body of Christ so that it just becomes our 100% focus to edify, to build, and to grow the family of God. That's what life is all about. So there's two word pictures I'm going to share. I'm going to try to keep the two word pictures very brief, okay? We could probably make each word picture a two or three part sermon, but there are there's actually many pictures of the Christian life and the body of Christ, but I personally think there's two that kind of emerge from the scriptures as highlighted visuals for the body of Christ. And that's what I would like to share with you this morning. So the first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Please turn there. I would like you to, there's something about seeing it and hearing it. This is the Word of God, and I want us to get the concept of a house or household. And the picture is family illustration, the house. When you talk about your household, you do have a building per se, but there's something about the unit. And like you drive down the road and you see your house or our house, and there's their house. But honestly, that house could go, that's just material, but hopefully that material would not affect the true household. And I think that's the picture here. So if you're in 1 Peter chapter 2, I would like you to I'm going to start at verse 1. Wherefore, laying all aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, that's a stone that's alive, disallowed or rejected, thrown aside, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Okay, that's Jesus. Now you're in verse 5. You also, that's you, that's me, as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to talk about the chief cornerstone, and again talking about how he is precious, and he was, the builders rejected him and threw him aside, and he was a stone of stumbling, and goes on to say we're a chosen generation. So there's a box that I have in my basement that was very, very, very well used about a decade or two decades ago. How many of you have Legos in your house? If there's anybody that doesn't have Legos and you have children, I'm so sorry for you. No, the Legos, I am a strong believer in Legos. It brings out it uses a creative part of your mind. Unfortunately, things like this are being replaced with things that make little devices that make sounds and robs the creative part of a mind. But oh my, the wear and tear of these Legos was incredible. If I would be a little more, maybe put a little more time into it, I would have built a really nice house, okay? And then I would have put all of your names on one of the pieces, okay? I would have made sure I got a red one, because that's my favorite color, and I would make sure all your favorite colors are represented. But it's personal, it's unique. But yet, it's built together. I actually thought about asking for 5 volunteers to come up here and do this while I'm preaching, but then I thought, no, I'll have 10% of your attention. But I want you to get that picture. And if I'd be a little more computer savvy, I would make a video that has all of your names and a picture, and you're a big pile of Legos, and just, you know, what do they call that, fast motion, you know, all of them going together, and just, that's the picture. That's the picture that is, I believe, is given in this passage of scriptures. You, verse 5, you also are, I'm sorry, as living, lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Okay, well, hopefully that's a visual that will stick with you. There are some illustrations with building that are very important. If you want to go in, if you buy a piece of wooded land and build a house, the first thing you're going to do is clear the land. Okay, you're going to get rid of anything that's unwanted at the building site. And I believe that fits well with verses 1 and 2. Just get rid of malice, get rid of ill will, get rid of bitterness, get rid of guile, get rid of hypocrisies, any kind of pretense. And, you know, as I read these, I am convicted because they are so innate. They're just built into our human tendencies, every one of them. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking, gossip, backbiting, and so on. Just remove it. Clear the land. And then I see something in verse 2 that I believe is very important for building, and I believe that is just the desiring for the word of God. And that's the blueprint. You want to do it right. You want to build this just right. Some people have their entire careers into offering advice and assistance for building the right way, in the correct way, so the buildings hold up. Do I have that passion and longing to build right? I mean, I don't want to sort of go back to my Lego illustration, and I'm a lousy Lego builder, but I've seen some pretty amazing Lego jobs. It is amazing how you come together, you come up, and then you start building a peak with Legos, and imagine just coming to the top and it's just not working and falling over, whatever. The diligence that is required to build. And that's what I'm seeing in the desiring, the sincere milk of the word to grow. And of course, understanding the foundation, Jesus Christ, which was rejected by men, by chosen, and understanding our belonging. By the way, some of us might be small, some of us might be little larger blocks, but you take one away, it's so important. And the belonging, the perspective, and I love the way that song ends. Praise God, I belong. And you know, if belonging is missing, I believe that is one of the foundations for emotional crumbles. If belonging is there, I don't think we'll ever understand the mileage. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I think that is just so important how we relate to each other. I heard of a man who walked into a Sunday school room as a little boy. He was a visitor, and he got laughed at. And he walked out, and he said, I will never go back again. His name was Adolf Hitler. Imagine being the group of boys that mocked him. I don't know if that... I wish I'd have more documentation to that story, but I heard it in a sermon. And I do know that there is incredible pain when a person doesn't feel belonging. And it is so important for us to just look at the house and say, yeah, there's ductwork in that you'll never see, but that ductwork is just as important as the cornerstone out front, especially on hot days. You see purpose in here as well, the priesthood of believers. I like that word hood, and I'm gonna be careful. I'll go on a bunny trail on the hood part of it. But if you study church history, there was a lot of theories about the Catholic Church, and then along come the Reformers, and then it was the strong emphasis on everybody's relationship with God alone and not through a system per se. And they were partly right, but I like the word priesthood. In the same chapter, you're going to have the word, if you go down to verse 17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. I love the word hood. I think the word hood implies the togetherness. The hood that keeps the individuals together, I don't know if I can accurately articulate what I'm thinking, but the priesthood, the brotherhood. And by the way, herein lies some very key or core Anabaptist biblical thought. We come to God together. Yes, we do have individuality, but... individual, I don't think we're going to accomplish much for God at all. But knitted together, fitly formed or built together, framed together, is where it is an incredible word picture. So I have a I have this little piece of paper. I got it off of my study wall this morning. I heard it, and I keep it in front of my eyes basically all the time because it just means so much to me. The essence of the Anabaptist vision. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Scriptures, is the ultimate authority. That's at the top. That's the foundation of everything. Since he is the final authority, and I learned that through the Holy Scriptures, I order my life in discipleship to him. And I echo what I've been hearing this morning about those of you that have made that decision to make Jesus the ultimate authority. That's all you're basically doing. I used to say that's very important how you lead somebody to Christ. Parents, don't feel any responsibility. I shouldn't say it like that. It is a very beautiful time, but that's another bunny trail. It's as simple as I feel the weight of my sin, and I am going to turn to Jesus who paid the price for my sin, and I yield all my authority to him. Since he is that authority, I order all my life in discipleship to him. Here's the catch. Everybody will agree with that, what I just said. Actually, very few of the known church worldwide embraces the following. And that's the distinctive of Anabaptist thought. When others do the same, when others make Jesus the final authority through the scriptures, so the scriptures are the authority, so we don't have wishy-washy theology, the scriptures are the authority. When others do the same, I enter into a body relationship with them called the church. The church, unique from its host culture. I wanted to get that. The church is unique from the host culture. So we're not like the world to win the world because we're unique. That'll never work. The church is unique from its host culture, that's the world, supernaturally demonstrates the love of Christ as it cooperates with him, that's Jesus, the authority, to build the kingdom of the world today. Anyway, I got that at SMBI one day, and I said, "That I will put that on my wall." It answers so many questions, big worldview church questions. And that's exactly what I see in the scriptures. I see this house being built that is absolutely beautiful. Okay, really quickly, the next picture. Now, I should have did some slideshow work on this one. I've never really studied human anatomy, though, biology, but it is very interesting. Some of the medical journeys that our children have been on, I learned a lot about platelets, I learned a lot about red cells and white cells and so on, but the human body is absolutely amazing. As we sit here this morning, if there are 75 of us here, there's 75 hearts going. And you didn't replace the batteries lately, did you? Your lungs, if there's 75 here, there's 150 lungs. Just. And without that, you would die. You'd die within a few minutes. There's hearts beating, there's lungs breathing, there's, I don't know how many millions of cells, that's kind of beyond my thinking, that are being replaced all the time. Here's another one. Even in the last 5 seconds, there was probably thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts being processed by your little brain. That is absolutely amazing. Here's another one. We all have immune systems, which include some of the things I just mentioned, that are fighting off enemies that we don't even see. I'm talking about an amazing human body that David, long before the biology existed that we have at our fingertips today, he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's enough for me. And the little bit I do know about my human body is absolutely amazing. That's the picture. That's maybe the primary picture that emerges from the scriptures when I see the church. It is a house fitly joined together, each building part very incredible, But you can read Romans 12, you can read 1 Corinthians 12, you can read Ephesians 4, and you'll read things like this. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. So, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. I'm back to my simple philosophy. When others do the same, okay, I have committed my life to Jesus. He is the authority through the scriptures. I am ordering my life in discipleship to him. And when others do the same scripture, I enter into a body relationship. You know, there's verses in the Bible that say things like, actually, I'll make myself a little bit vulnerable. I think one of the most misunderstood and underrated verses in the entire Bible is, you'll never guess it, unless I've maybe said it before. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I could tell you about so many other sequel verses. The whole idea, I mean, I was reading some of them that I'm not even going to include in the message this morning, but I was reading 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians, just to prepare my own heart this morning. And Paul said some incredible things. He said, I will not offend my brother. I won't even eat my favorite food. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. If I know it offends somebody out there, you won't catch me eating it. That's so foreign to the Christianity that you and I see and hear about on the radio, on the podcasts. I'm talking about the body relationship. And the human body. Study the human body and how it just functions together. I mean, let me give you an illustration. So I'll bet you can all relate. You're walking maybe a little carelessly and fast to get somewhere quickly, and you stub your pinky toe. Anybody ever do that? And it just kills. It almost everything shuts down. You cannot function while that little pinky. Did the ear say, "Duh, Jim, it's your little pinky. Duh, he's not that necessary." No. The scriptures go on to say, like, the eye never says, well, I'm not the hearing, and the hearing doesn't say, I'm not the eye. And there's no comparison in the human body. The one part of your human body never looks at another part of the human body and compares. Never. It won't work. It realizes that we've got a job to do, and this human body was going from here to here. Pinky's hurt. Arm's going to reach down, and all parts of the body are going to be right there until little pinky's okay. The two illustrations as I close. A house and a body. It's absolutely beautiful. What a beautiful illustration. Probably one of the most wonders in the world is a human body. That's what the body of Christ is intended to be. I want us to know the beauty of the body of Christ so that every ounce of energy is investing into edification and building and growing. And not just at Waterworks. I want to see that in Thailand. I want to see that in Grenada. I want to see that in Nicaragua. I would even love to see it in North Korea. I have a vivid memory. I have a neighbor that fought in Operation Desert Storm. Joyce and I got married August 4th. A couple months later, Operation Desert Storm happened. That was supposed to be funny. My neighbor knocked on my door about 8 months, 9 months after we were married, and he was in his camo, in his uniform, and he said, "I'm back." It's like, wow, it is good to see him, because I knew he was away in Iraq fighting. And he said, come on over sometime and I'll show you pictures. What do you do? We went over and we were looking through his picture albums. I'll never forget the one picture, I think it's on the right side of his photo book, was a picture of a human hand laying in the sand. And he said, look at that. And it's kind of, there's a hand detached from the body. I have no idea what happened, but it probably wasn't good. That's what happens in war. Whenever there's a amputated limb, there is a handicapped body. And I want us to get that in light of the body. Whenever there's an isolated, a handicapped limb, for me it's that image of the hand in the sand. And I just want that, I want us all to feel that burden. The body of Christ is so, so beautiful. We need the mentality of the beauty of the body of Christ. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming back for a church. In fact, in one time I studied Revelation, and I remember so well reading in the chapter 1 how John had that image of the candlesticks, and each candlestick was a church. And you know who was in the center of the church? It was Jesus. I remember one person said, you want to find Jesus? This is radical. Go to the church. That doesn't mean one person individually can't lead somebody to Christ. But the power, when there's a body, it's the way Jesus Christ wants to represent himself to the world. The host, the church, is unique from the host culture. It's unique. And it's supernaturally demonstrating the love of Christ, that power we talked about, grace. It cooperates with Jesus because he's authority to build the kingdom of Christ in the world today. And I'm part of it and you're part of it too. I don't know about you, but I am very glad to be part of the family of God. And I'll again express my commitment that I want you to hold me accountable to. My commitment is to live my life to edify and build, not an individual, but the body of Christ. Let's all stand and we'll have a closing prayer, and then we can maybe sing that beautiful song that Bill and Gloria penned on that notable Easter weekend. Father, thank you so much for the blood that was shed so we can be a body. Thank you so much for every person here. And truly, we again just rejoice with victories. We rejoice with the new members into the body of Christ. But Lord, we also care deeply for Mike and Joelle, for everyone that is going through some type of pain and sorrow that this broken world offers. But Lord, I pray that you would just put in our minds in a very vivid way the beauty of the body of Jesus Christ, so that we just commit 100% to build your kingdom here. Thank you, and make us a blessing in this broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. A song, and then you're dismissed.